Hi, and welcome. This is Inside Windows Phone. I am Matthias Shapiro, Technical Evangelist for Windows Phone. And today, for our guest, we have...
Cameron Lerm. I am a Senior Program Manager on the Windows International team.
Well, thanks for coming on, Cameron.
Thank you.
One of the things that we're going to be talking about today is Windows Phone in a not-English sort of context. A lot of people don't know that outside of the U.S. and sort of English-centric world, Windows Phone actually has a pretty substantial presence.
Yes.
One of the things that we have that is really, really cool, I think, is that English only makes up 25% of our users' primary languages. We've got a lot of Cantonese, Mandarin, Spanish, Russian, Italian, French, a lot of different languages, and a lot of them, and they take up a substantial portion of our market.
Yes, yes, they absolutely do. I do like to joke that my job is to make sure everything works except English.
Right. And so Cameron has something he's going to show us that makes reaching into those markets, making sure our apps are available in as many places as possible, just make that a little bit easier for us.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me jump into this then. So what we have is we have a Windows Phone application that I've written. It's kind of a sample app we're looking at using. And it uses the Microsoft Language Portal for when you have new APIs that we support on that through the Microsoft Languages services. So we wrote an app to show how to access those, but I wrote the app in English. So what we're going to do is we're going to convert it to French. And I'm sure everybody knows how to do that. You come into your app, and you would simply go on resources, I want to add a new resource, I want to add new resex, and I'm going to do fr-fr for my naming convention.
So this is app resources.resex. Can you open that up so we can see what that looks like?
Absolutely can. So this here is just a bunch of name value pairs. It's a resource ID with a particular text that I want to display in my app.
Okay.
And so the resource loader of Windows, the Windows Phone, will actually load that in for us when we run our application.
And we'll use this to populate all of our labels and everything that we have.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And so the thing you do have to remember, though, is when you write your app, I don't have it here, but what it does by default, it will give you a section, a comment on the top when you open a brand new template. So in that section, it will talk about how you do your text bindings, right? And and these text bindings, let me see if I find the right one here, are how you set up so that your localizable data will display on the screen. Okay? And that's important because if you don't hook the binding, it won't pull out of the ResX file. And so you won't get resources. When you add French, you'll still get whatever you've hard-coded in your app, which then limits your markup potential greatly.
Right. Okay? So as we add French, we're going to add additional ResX application resources. We're going to get them into French, and you're going to...
Well, yeah, we could do that.
Okay.
But I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty lazy.
No.
That's a lot of work.
Right.
So if you add a ResX file, for every one of these resources that you have in here, you'll have to copy those over and manage it and remember whether you've translated or not, or if you had to retranslate it because you changed the source string later on.
Oh, okay.
That's a lot of work, and I just don't want to deal with that.
Right.
So I proposed to the team, I said, why don't we make this easy? And the team went, hey, that's a good idea. So we came up with the concept of a multilingual app toolkit. And the way the multilingual app toolkit works is you simply just create some resources in your ResX file. Mm-hmm. You enable the toolkit saying, I want to add additional languages. It will then do all the management for you. We hook in machine translation. We hook in that new language provider we just got through talking about. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you just test and ship.
Okay.
So
that's cool. Let's see it.
Okay, let's take a look. Got it up on the screen.
All right.
So first thing you do is it's a free download from MSDN.
Okay.
So if you go to the standard tools for Windows or Windows Phone, you'll see a link in there in the tools section for the multilingual app toolkit.
And we'll have a link to that in the blog post below.
Oh, excellent. And so once you've done that, you simply install it. It's a Visual Studio plugin, so it works as an extension. And then you just select your project node, and you go to the tools menu and say enable multilingual app toolkit. Pretty straightforward.
Okay.
You'll see that what happens when you do that is it creates a sudo file. And while we're not going to cover sudo today, let me just do a machine translate on that, kind of giving away what we're going to do in the future here. And we'll bring this file up real quick in our editor. And the way the sudo works is sudo will give you an expansion on your characters to see if you have truncations, if something's not being localized, if you have other issues like that. So it's a really good debugging language.
Okay.
Now, you do want to remember to take it out before you ship, because it can cause certification to fail because it's not in a language you'd want users to have anyway.
Right, right.
But just like you put debug statements in, you'd want to wrap it or you want to pull it out before you ship.
Okay.
Okay? So here's an example of what our sudo does. So we have the Microsoft Language Portal, and sudo just makes it readable, but puts a bunch of characters on it so that you can see that, oh, this would be translated and I can see the starting and ending blocks.
Okay.
Pretty straightforward. For Windows Phone, just enable it as the UI language, say QPS-PLOG, and you'll get it show up in your UI because it's not a selectable language.
I got you.
Okay, so let's go ahead and close this down. And I'm going to go ahead, and since we're just doing the demo of French today, I'm going to go ahead and just delete this. So sudo is now gone. That's how easy to get rid of.
Okay.
You can also just exclude it from your projects if you want to keep it for later.
I see. So we just that's just a file that we use for debugging, making sure there aren't going to be any problems in translations that we might want to run.
Yep. In fact, I would recommend using it for all your initial development.
I see.
Once you start locking down your code and feel, I feel I'm close, then your languages, do your machine translation. Send those off for professional translation or use the machine translation. Finish the final touches and ship.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
So let's add French.
Yes.
Okay, so instead of adding another resx, we're just going to say add translation languages. Mm-hmm. It's in a right-click menu off our project, and it brings up all the languages that are available. So I'm just going to type in French in my search box, and I'm going to tab down here and say French, France, right?
Okay.
Put a checkbox on that. Now, you notice I have these icons.
Yep.
Those indicate the translation language providers that I have installed.
I see.
By default, you do get the Microsoft Language Portal and the Microsoft Translator Service.
And that's similar to Bing Translate?
It's the same. They've renamed it. In fact, I get in trouble when I call it Bing Translate.
Okay.
So the interesting thing about this, though, is both of these are 100% free. It is all you can eat. So the Microsoft Bing Translator Service is a subscription service. You get a small amount for free to see how it works for you, but then there's a subscription you pay above that. If you use the toolkit, we never charge you.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of people are using that.
That's very cool.
Yep. Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and bring up our French. Just like sudo, it adds another file. Now, if you want to look at this, because I know developers really dig into everything we do, we create an xlib file, and that xlib file is now the owner of the resx file that normally we'd create manually and have to manage manually. So what we do is, as the xlib file has populated translations, we will move those translations to your resx file.
Okay.
Now, here's a key that some people get caught up on. If you don't want a translation, you don't put it in your resx file. So if you mark a string as non-translatable in your xlib file, we won't move it to the resx. That way you don't get ghost translations or other issues.
I see.
It's the same process that you use if you were to do it yourself manually. We just automate it for you.
Okay.
Okay? Now, I'm going to go ahead and bring up the editor, and we'll show how you can do editing of this to get right into the project. So I can go through here. I can just select all, or I can even just say, you know what, translate everything for me. And now what it's going to do is it's going to go to the Microsoft Translator API, as well as the Microsoft Language Portal, and it's going to pull up our translations. It's doing a matching, right?
Right.
So now we have translations based upon the available resources that Microsoft has.
I see.
Okay. I don't know about the quality, because I can't read French.
Right.
But I can have my French friend validate for me, and then just fine-tune it from there.
Mm-hmm.
So it saves them the initial work and go from there.
But so this is, instead of saying, hey, can you translate these 500 things, it would be, hey, can you proofread
exactly
this and tell me what's wrong?
Exactly. But one thing I do want to do is I want to check what this one would look like for my options. So we in the recent version with 2.0, we've added in the ability to do suggestions.
Okay.
And what suggestions do is it goes up and it will pull back a list of, hey, we have these matches. Which one works best for you?
Oh.
And you can see that they're identified by the language portal provider or the translation provider or any third-party provider that you want to write and add in.
Okay.
So it is an extensible model. So I'm going to look through this list and go, you know what? I think I'll actually take this one, but I don't want the colon on the end. One thing we don't do is we don't strip off the colons and the brackets and stuff, so you always want to validate against that.
Okay.
Okay? So now I have this translation. Let me go ahead and save this. And I'm going to come back to here, and now I have it in my product.
Okay.
Okay, now you're going, okay, that's really cool, but now I got to do something special, right? Absolutely. If you don't build, the translations won't get in.
Right.
So let's do a build. Okay?
Awesome.
And what you see when you build is you'll see it generate some messages about the multilingual app toolkit has been started and the build completed successfully. So, and now you know that it has added any languages that you have marked as translatable.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go ahead and run this. I've got the emulator running to save a little time. And they're going to show up in English.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they show up in English is because my emulator is still in English.
Right.
Right. So let's kick out of this and let's put our emulator into French. And scroll over here. Now, you could just set the current culture UI to French to get around having to reset your emulator. So if you want to do testing, that's a pretty quick way to do it.
Got it. Okay. And you do that. I was going to ask about that. I'm like, it always resets on me.
Yeah. And you do that with code behind.
Yep.
And you put it, what I always do, I always put a debugger.isAttached, and then I'll say if I have defined a culture, then use that culture. That way, if I ship and don't forget to remove code, I get the code of the UI of the language the person selected.
Okay.
I'm always worried about making a mistake, so I do a lot of cross-checking.
Yeah.
Because I don't care to take 3 days to get recertified.
Right.
All right, so this emulator should restart. Hopefully it won't take too long. Mm-hmm. While it's doing that, let me talk about the fact that I don't know French.
Okay.
That means if I ship French, I have no idea what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And you know, some machine translations are going to be interesting.
Right.
I do have friends speaking, friends that speak French. Mm-hmm. So what I can do is I can come into back to the Visual Studio environment, and I can simply say, you know what, I've got this French file, but I'm not comfortable with a machine translation, so I'm going to send it for translations. And what I can do is I can send this to a mail recipient, I can zip it up. If I had multiple languages and they were multilingual, I could send all of them at the same time.
Okay.
And what that does is it will create an email, and this email will then have that file attached, and it will have a link as to where your friend, who's non-technical, can download the toolkit.
Oh, okay.
Now, the toolkit does require Windows 8 or greater and Visual Studio 2012 or greater, but not for your friends.
Oh, okay.
So if you have Windows 7 and that's all you have, you download the toolkit, it will only install the editor.
Okay.
And as a result, you'll get the translation services and the editor, but you won't get all the overhead of the Visual Studio plugin and all that build management system.
Right. So it's specifically designed for this whole process of bringing other people into the personal aspect of translation.
Absolutely.
That's very cool.
And XLIF is an industry standard.
Okay.
So even if you want to send beyond friends and family to professional services, many professional services support XLIF as a native upload.
Okay. So all of this structure that's built around multilingual and multicultural apps is something that we support.
Right out of the box.
Okay.
Yep. And it's industry standard, so the industry supports it. So you're not locked into Microsoft.
Okay.
You can use us because we're a great tool, but you're not locked in.
Got it.
Okay.
Cool.
The other thing that you do then is when your friend sends you the email back, or actually works against SkyDrive, so just put it on SkyDrive, you can just do an import of the translations.
Okay.
And you go pick the file you have, and you'd import them. I'm not going to bother because we've already machine translated.
Right.
But it would you could pick one or more files, and it would just match up and give you that immediately.
Okay.
We do have recycling as well, so if you had multiple projects that had French, you could go point at those ResX files, and if your source strings match the source strings of your new project, i.e. recycling, you get those for free. You don't even have to go to an external service. All right, so let's go back to our phone emulator. It should have been rebooted by now. And I'm going to bring up the language portal. And if all went well, we have French.
And there it is.
And
French.
Now, Microsoft Language Portal wasn't translated because that's a keyword we're using, so we've told it not to.
Right.
But now we have this in French. Of course, I don't know what my French is, so I'm going to switch this back to English and English US, and I'm going to tell it to translate this to French for me because I don't know the right spelling. So this is actually required. Oh, I need to do this. I picked the wrong language. Know your languages when they're localized.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was this one. Sorry about that.
Ah.
Like I said, I know English really well.
Right.
So what you're seeing here is just kind of a sample of the services that we're using for the toolkit for you.
Right. So
and
you've
here
got,
it is in a phone
you've got
app.
The whole back-end service built into the sample application.
And so we build a phone app to do the same thing.
Okay.
So that's pretty much it.
Very cool.
So if I were to add 50 languages, machine translate, hit build, and ship, I would have 50 or do 54 languages is what the Windows phones support.
That's very, very cool. And so, so in order to get, as I mentioned before, in order to get as many users as you possibly can, some of the key languages you're looking at, we're going to look at Russian, Cantonese, Mandarin, Spanish, French.
Yes.
I think Brazilian Portuguese is a not insubstantial portion of our user base. These are all really great cultures that you're going to want to target.
Absolutely.
But one of the other things that we've been doing inside the Windows Phone community is this build for both construct, where you build for Windows Phone, you build for Windows 8. Is the multilingual app toolkit, is that something that's going to help us on both those platforms?
Absolutely. The multilingual app toolkit actually the first version, version 1.0, only supported Windows Store.
Oh, okay.
So we've enhanced it to support the Windows Phone as well. So if I were to write this exact same project in a Windows Store model, the exact same workflow would work. I would enable it, I would add my languages, I would machine translate or send for friends and family translation or professional, I would build, I would ship.
Okay, so this is a cross-client,
it is
everything
a cross-client.
You need
yep.
To get you started in building applications that run
Absolutely.
All over the world.
Absolutely, yep, that's our target.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on, and thank you for the demo.
Let me add one more point.
One more thing.
We're here in the U.S., right? Mm-hmm. Redmond-based.
Yes, I think so.
Don't forget to add Spanish to your apps. Just
okay.
even if you're targeting U.S., mm-hmm. you're going to cut out a whole segment of society.
Okay.
Right here in our borders. So when you think about, I don't really need to localize, don't forget to look locally.
Yep.
Right?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.